back here on the Boss Man Show. Friend of the show, Coach Todd Kowalczyk of the Toledo Rockets out of the MAC Conference, 11-3 on the year. Coach, how's life within Toledo, man? You guys going really well right now. 17 threes of the night I saw.
Well, JR, it's nice to be with you again. And, yeah, we can shoot that thing. We got some guys that we can spread the floor, and we got a very skilled team. We've had some injuries. Our starting center, AJ Adu, is out for the year, and he's a very, very good player. But so we're not playing with a true post players. We're playing with really five perimeter guys that can all shoot it. And it's been a fun way to play, a fun way to coach, and certainly our team is showing that we're pretty good.
How's the adjustment, Coach, losing AJ? You know, like I said, you're anchoring your defensive end there, your post guy, and now playing five out, shooting threes was very fun to watch. But how's it for your guys kind of adjust losing him game two and to now?
Well, it's been difficult. I said to our local media, we really kind of had to reinvent ourselves twice this year already, which in college basketball, as you know, is not very normal. You go through the first 40 practices going back from, you know, end of September. We had 40 practices, and, you know, we think we got a really good team. AJ, you know, as you remember, is one of the more talented post players in mid-major basketball. He's a good player.
Oh, yeah.
Elite defender. Offensively, he's getting better, but he's a very good player. And then last year he was out with an ACL, and then just an unrelated meniscus tear about 5 minutes into the Oakland game, which is our second game of the year. So we had to reinvent ourselves on the fly. We played Xavier the next day, and we kind of adjusted. We played with our backup five men, two guys, Luke Marenka and Jonathan Kumunga, who both probably aren't ready for starter minutes, and both were really recruited to be, you know, AJ's backup. And then, you know, we played at Marshall on December 16th. So we kind of weathered the storm for 2 weeks. And then December 16th, as you know, the NCAA changed that immediate eligibility waiver and allowed all transfers to be eligible. So at 5:20 or 5:30, before we played at Marshall at 6 p.m., literally we're in warmups, and we would get word that JT Shoemate, who's a 6'7", four-man transfer, Division II transfer from Wall State, a good player, really active, really long, but he's not a center. We get word that he's eligible. So he plays 30 minutes in that overtime game and gets 12 points and, you know, quite a few rebounds and plays well. But we didn't, he never even practiced with the gold team, the starters or the top seven guys. We thought he's a redshirt guy, so he's on the scout team. So we had to reinvent it on the fly. He basically had no practice reps with the starters until after Christmas. Because as you know, when you play two or three times a week, there really isn't time, you know, to get better. It's more preparation for the next game. And we played Valparaiso at home. Then we had to play Northern Illinois in a conference game. So we did. Luckily, we had five practice days after Christmas. We got AJ up to speed. We changed philosophically, differently, how we're going to play at both ends of the floor, because we don't have, you know, probably the best shot blocker in the country with AJ. So we have to play differently. We adjusted. Our players really bought into the changes, are having fun with it, but we're playing small. We're spreading people out, and we got a team that can really get into the paint and finish, and, you know, but they all can pass and shoot.
Speak about your two seniors, Coach, who really kept the guys together. I mean, those senior guards you have, man, it really helped you out a lot this year, keeping guys up to speed, keeping your guys on the ball, on point. Tell us about them and what they've meant to your team this year.
Well, I got two really good senior guards, and that's, as you know, that might be the most important thing in all of college basketball. They have really good guard play. The only thing better than really good guard play is veteran guard play. And I got two guys that have played a lot of minutes for us, have been really good players in our league. And one is obviously Morion Jackson, who all league preseason, you know, I think, you know, clearly one of the top players in our league. And our league's got some really good guards. You can all throw them into a hat. They're all really good. Who's the best? I'd have no idea, but my guy certainly is in the mix. Plays both ends. He's a leader. He makes big plays, big shots. And Jerry, he wasn't shooting the ball very well early on. I think he's putting too much pressure on himself to, you know, to score. And last year he had to. We didn't have the same talent level on the perimeter. And he started to trust his teammates more. And because of that, we've gotten better. Our percentages in conference play are very good at both ends of the floor. And it's because Marion's is settled in. He's taking really good shots, but a really good player and had a chance to have a long career. Spencer Littleson, the second senior, the heart and soul of our program. You know, there's guys in the country, and there's probably no more than 10 that play as hard as him. I'm not saying he plays harder, but he nobody plays harder than him. I mean, he's one of those guys that just does everything. You know, defensively, he's constantly moving on offense, and he really is a lights out shooter. But on the offensive efficiency scale, he's top 50 players in the country right now. You look at, you know, the analytics, makes open shots. He's tough. But he's a guy that wants to be a college coach and will and certainly be a good one.
Most definitely.
And I know one thing. I want to have him on my side. I know that.
Hey, he might be a GA next year for you. it might have something for you. Yeah, but, Coach, I'll tell you, man, I love looking at your team, man, because your guys are fun to watch. It reminds me of how the Don Nelson played with the We Believe Warriors when I was younger, man. Yeah. It reminds me of that. You know how these guys play together. Everybody's 6'7" and below, man, out there getting out there, man. It's fun to watch. It's a great brand. I know you love AJ, but that's fun to watch, that small ball bombing away shooting them threes, man. It's really fun to watch. It's enjoyable.
I didn't know this stat until a local media person told me it today. But we've made more threes than anybody in the country.
Wow.
Now we don't have the most threes per game, but because we've played 14 games, a lot of teams haven't played as many games as us, we've made more. And I think Spencer Littleson might be number one in the country at most threes made. So we are, but it's not just Spencer. It's, you know, and to be perfectly honest with you, one of the best things that JT Shoemate does is shoot threes. And currently right now, you know, on the season, he's 0 for 8.
Wow.
So you look at his stats from Walsh at Division II, that's one of the best things he does. He's a very good shooter. He just hasn't had many opportunities. And I think he's passed up a lot of good open threes, and we got to work on that with him.
And, Coach, you have four guys averaging 13 points or better, so the balance of your scoring is real great as well, keeping your guys all sharing in the wealth, having a good time scoring points for you guys this year, which is keeping a lot of guys happy as well.
Yeah, in conference play, you know, to take it a step further, we have JT Shoemate averaging 9.6. Mattia Kunza, I'm sorry, Keyshawn Saunders is 8.5, and Mattia is 7.7. So that's, you know, we got close to seven guys at that double-digit figure. So any one of those seven can easily score in double figures. We've had two games where we had six in double figures, and the seventh score had eight. So we are a balanced team. Which I think really is helpful that they can't just key on, you know, Marion Jackson. And Marion's assist numbers are very good. So we're moving the ball, we're spreading the floor. But we're not just a shooting team though either. We can play off the dribble and we can score in the post as well.
And it'd be helpful come March because, you know, in tournament time, you need to have more than, you know, five, six guys. If you have eight guys that can score for you, even if you go farther if you need to. So having that depth is going to really help you come conference tournament time and hopefully get in the tournament and cause some trouble as well.
There's no question about that. And we've played a really good schedule to prepare us. We've, you know, played against a really good Bradley team that's back-to-back Missouri Valley Conference champions. We lost the buzzer, had chances. We lost a one-possession game to Xavier. And then we went up to Michigan and we thought, you know, we were playing well. You know, we didn't play good in that game, but give them, I tell you what, I'm sure you've seen Michigan play. They're as good as advertised. I don't know how everybody missed a boat on them in the preseason polls, but man, they're good and they are extremely well coached. You can tell he's got a lot of Eric Spoelstra influence at Michigan. He's cutting edge offensively. They are very, very good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, from watching the Miami Heat, like you said, covering Atlanta Hawks the way I do, I see a lot of those same concepts, helping off the strong side, three there, gaps and slots. I mean, trying to protect the paint, building the wall. Yeah, the same things I saw the Heat do the Hawks all these years, man. I'm seeing Juwan do it in Michigan as well.
Yes. Yes, there's no question about it.
Now, Coach, you mentioned you played 14 games. How blessed are you knowing that you played 14 games, knowing a year where some teams still aren't playing four, some teams haven't been playing this year. So how blessed are you and your staff and your players to know, hey, you're getting to play ball 14 games already this year, you know, in this weird COVID year?
Yeah, we are blessed. But I give, you know, Brian Jones, our trainer, Roger Cruz, our team physician, the the plan that they put into place for our athletic department and the Mid-American Conference is exceptional. And we've been very transparent about it. A big reason why we played 14 games, we had eight players and myself all get it together in October. We've all had it. So we're still in the 90 days. So that's a big reason why. And we've also, the guys that haven't had it, they've been, you know, sent, you know, everybody's been very safe. We're doing a good job of doing what we're supposed to with masks on. But the one thing I'll tell you about that whole thing, and what I learned is, you know, some people, when you get it, look at you, well, what'd you do wrong? You know, some people do everything right and they can be unbelievably safe and just come into contact with an asymptomatic person and you get it and it comes to your team that way. But I think we've been really safe. And even though we've been really safe, I think I was really safe. I still got it. And I respect the heck out of that virus, I'll tell you that.
I was going to ask you about that, Coach. How's your recovery been and how you feeling these days?
I feel great. I, you know, most of our players have very mild symptoms. I had probably 3 days of pretty severe fever. I never had anything respiratory at all. The worst thing I had, I was dizzy a lot. But other than that, I was, you know, I was fine. I feel for the people that have gone through worse, and obviously the individuals, you know, that are no longer with us and their families.
And Coach, also this summer, been away from your guys. I know you love your guys, man. So having to be more of a father figure, or brother, a mentor, a counselor, how was that process when you don't have the guys, you can touch them every day? You can do it via Zoom, FaceTime, and text, and kind of keep your guys' minds fresh and not let negativity take them over, and then they'll succumb to negativity. And it's all going on around us this summer.
Yeah, March through July was probably the worst for our program, simply because we couldn't have guys on campus. Once they came back in July, it was a breath of fresh air. They needed to get out of the house, get away from their families a little bit. They got cooped up, and to be around their teammates and work on what they really want to do. And it was great to get them back. I think our university's done a really good job of trying to protect our students, you know, but it's been a different year. But I was talking with a local writer today, and it's almost, you know, like we as college coaches are on sabbatical. We have so much time right now. And we're not out recruiting. We're not allowed to. We're not allowed to go to fundraisers. We're not allowed to go meet with donors for the most part. So how much film can you watch? I mean, I think you can overdo it. So my staff, we practice at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, they get in, you know, fairly early, but 9 o'clock in the morning, and then they're out of the office by four with their families. There's no recruiting trips. There's no, we're fresh. We're enjoying our team. We love being around our guys. But the staff is, I told them to take advantage of that, because that's never happened in my 30 plus year career. You know, typically when you get into January and February as a college coach, assistant head coach, doesn't matter. There's a fatigue factor for the coaches too now, not just the players. Because you're out in a car till midnight, you know, watching high school games, and you get back and you got to go to practice in the morning and watch, get ready for the next preparation. It's a nonstop grind, where now I'm home at four with my family. I'm home for dinner, and I'm actually cooking a little bit. I
mean, oh, wow.
And I go to yoga every morning. So it's been, I don't want to say we don't work hard, but we don't have the long hours like we did. We work smart. And it's been a refreshing time, I think, for all coaches that way. Now we're dealing with the other side of trying to help our players with mental health, with you know, being quarantined, et cetera, and because it's such a difficult time. But there has been some blessings to this as well.
Now, Coach, it's funny you say that, because a lot of guys have told me they're more refreshed this year. And through all the COVID, like you said, they're at home or recruiting via Zoom. They have more time to actually be a father, be a parent, be a brother or a son. So, Coach, you're not the only one. A lot of guys have told me all year long how good it is to have some time to themselves after basketball and be a person for once, you know, not just a robot.
And early on, in September, October, November, maybe I there was a certain level of guilt that I had about not being in the office, or not, I'm not working hard enough, and I'm over that guilt now, I'll tell you that. I mean, yeah. I'm appreciative. I'm thankful. I you know, and part of it is because I love my team, I love my staff, and we got a chance to get better and really improve upon. I think we're a good team now, but I think we can get a lot better.
Now, Coach, you keep Zoom a part of your recruiting going forward. I know some guys told me they will. Some guys don't want to use it as much as they are right now. So what is your stance on using Zoom to recruit right now with something you keep doing in the future?
I think Zoom and FaceTime are tremendous. I try to, with recruits, do more FaceTime than I do calls, simply because I think it has a more of a personal connection when you see their face, look them in the eyes, you know, and we'll see what happens, obviously, going forward with recruiting, how many days we're allowed out. There's a lot of questions whether or not they're going to reduce the days. I have a feeling that they will for cost saving measures. And I think administrators are also looking at this thing, saying you can be efficient, you know, at half the days and half the cost and save some money, which every university, you know, is probably looking to cut corners in those ways.
Most definitely. And now, Coach, coming up here Saturday, you got Akron, you know, a rival, in-state rival there right down the road there from you guys. Tell us about the Zips and what you're looking forward to seeing them on Saturday, man.
Reigning MAC champs. Good team. Best player in the league in Lauren Christian Jackson last year. He's good. He's really good. You know, John Gross, a phenomenal coach, does an unbelievable job. They're a good team, you know, and we're going to have to play well on the road in order to do that. But you know, we've been a good road team for quite a few years, and our guys are confident on the road. And, you know, we just got to go down there and play hard and defend and not turn it over and see what happens.
That's what I got for you, Coach. What was your quarantine hobby that did this year, man? Miles playing the guitar and walking around the neighborhood, so I learned how to play on the guitar. What about you, Coach? What was your hobby while doing the quarantine here?
You know what? This goes back to the fatigue level for me. I was up at – we have a lake house in Michigan, so I left my family and went to this lake house for 10 days by myself, which was safer for my family. And – I brought with me. I watched every MAC game from last year.
Wow!
So what it did, it reduced my workload this week, last week, next week. I didn't have to go watch last year's Kent State game. You know, 2 weeks ago when we played Kent State, or you know, we play Akron Saturday. I didn't have to watch yesterday. I wasn't watching Toledo versus Akron last year. I watched it in October, but took very detailed notes. Still fresh in my mind. I can watch Northern Illinois versus Akron and Ohio U versus Akron, not worry. So it was one less game to watch, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
So I watched a lot of film. I wasn't fortunate enough to have good weather during my 10-day break, but I did get outside a little bit. So I really couldn't walk much, but I watched a lot of film, to be honest with you, and just tried to, you know, do that and. Did a lot of Zoom calls with recruits as well during that time.
Most definitely. But Coach Quals, thank you for your time as always. Always good to catch up with you. Y'all have a great team. Y'all have been great with your time for me in the show, man. Thank you so much for always being there for me whenever I call on you, man.
Hey, anytime. I'd love to do it.
Thank you, Coach. Anytime, okay, Coach. Be blessed. And I'll talk to you real soon.
You too. Thanks, man.
All right.